Our gospel reading this morning comes from Matthew 12, verses 46 to 50. While Jesus was still speaking to the crowds, his mother and his brothers were standing outside, wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, "Look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside, wanting to speak to you." But to the one who had told him this, Jesus replied, "Who is my mother? And who are my brothers?" And pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." This is the word of God for the people of God. Amen.
Well, for those of y'all who like to plan ahead, I need to let you know there's a misprint in the bulletin. The final hymn is not number 117, it's number 694. So when we get to that moment, don't panic. Just turn to 694. Well, this morning we are finishing a sermon series we're calling A Beautiful Mess. It's a sermon series where we have been looking at the real families of Scripture. We've looked at different families in both the Old and the New Testament. And this morning we come to our last installment. And that is the family of Jesus himself, for Jesus had a family. He had a mother. He had siblings. This morning we ask ourselves the question, what happened when they showed up? We're going to look at the story Sarah just read, but before you do, will you join with me in a word of prayer? Have thine own way, O Lord, have thine own way. For you, O God, are a potter, and we are your clay. Amen. Well, the great American comedian George Burns once said, "Happiness is having a large, loving, caring, close-knit family that lives in another city." This week, 48.7 million Americans are going to be traveling for Thanksgiving. That means 48.7 million Americans are going to be reminded just how easy it is to love family when they are far away. But what happens when they show up? What happens when they descend upon your home and disrupt whatever it is you're doing? What happens when they appear and demand your attention? Happiness may be having a large, loving, caring, close-knit family that lives in another city, but what if they're not in another city? What if they're right outside your door? And with that, I take you back to our scripture passage this morning. And the only story in the Gospel of Matthew where Jesus' family actually shows up. You see, Matthew tells us it was an ordinary day for Jesus in his little town of Capernaum. He was going about his business as he always did. He was teaching and preaching to his disciples when all of a sudden he looked outside the window, and who did he see but his own family? Mary and his brothers had made the 40-mile trip from Nazareth to be there with him. "Lord," the disciples said, "Lord, your mother and your brother, they are outside. They want to speak with you." Now, it must have been a shock for Jesus, but of course, it had to be a good surprise, right? I mean, at this moment, you would expect Jesus to pull out all the stops. You would expect him to show some great hospitality to his family, to go running to his mother, to throw his arms around her and say, "Mom, it is so great to see you." You would expect him to invite his brothers in, offer them something to drink, tell them to take a load off. You would expect him to play the good host, only he doesn't. Do it. Instead, what does Jesus do in that moment? What does he say to his disciples? He turns to them and says, "And who is my mother? And who are my brothers?" Jesus refuses to see his own flesh and blood. He refuses to see his own family. Now, why? Now, what do you make of the scripture? What's it supposed to teach us? Why would Jesus be so dismissive of the people closest to him? Well, there was a 4th century bishop by the name of Theodore of Antioch who once said, the reason Jesus was dismissive of his own family was because he wanted to teach his disciples a lesson. He wanted to teach his disciples about priorities in faith. You see, Theodore of Antioch believed in the Christian faith, family is good, but of course, God is always better. He believed that Jesus was dismissing his family to show the disciples that it's okay to be a little disruptive in family if it means that you're putting God first. After all, Jesus had already taught his disciples that, anyone who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me, so maybe this is just him living that out, living that command out. Theodore of Antioch believed this scripture passage was all about priorities. It was about putting God first. And if that's the case, well, then maybe it's a scripture passage we need to hear as well. Because the truth is, sometimes in our lives, it can be very easy to prioritize family over faith. I remember several years ago now, back in 2005, when I was working in a small Presbyterian church in Atlanta, right there on Peachtree Road, when one year, Christmas Day fell on a Sunday. Now, you should know, when you work in a church, having Christmas fall on a Sunday is an entirely inconvenient time for Jesus to be born. It happened to us last year. You go through all the process of Christmas Eve, you pass out the candles, you sing the hymns, you go to bed at 1 a.m. and you get up a few hours later and you do it again. It's not easy to do, but then again, that's why God created associate pastors. Well, our little church was working hard to make sure we had worship all weekend long. We were trying to honor the season as best we could. So you can imagine our surprise when we received word that the megachurch, just a few blocks away from us on Peachtree, had made the decision to cancel church on Sunday. They decided not to do anything at all. In fact, one of the local reporters in town went to the pastor and just asked a question. They asked the pastor, so tell us, why are you canceling church on a Sunday? And he said, well, you know, Christmas really is a holiday all about family. And we just didn't want to do anything as a church that would take people away from their family on Christmas. And Jesus said, if anyone loves father or mother more than me, they are not worthy of me. And who is my mother? And who are my brothers? But those who do the will of the Father in heaven, they are my mother and sisters and brothers. You see, Theodore of Antioch believed this was a story all about priorities. It was a story about putting God first. So is that what's going on? Is that the reason Jesus is being so dismissive of his family? I don't think that's it. No, I don't think Jesus is dismissing his family in the disciples. Instead, I think he's doing something different for them. I think he's redefining family for the disciples. Evidently, Jesus just has a much, much larger understanding of what it means to be family. You know, I can't read this passage of scripture without thinking back to my very first Sunday here at Pinehurst United Methodist. I was 30 years old at the time. I had just moved to town a few days earlier. I was standing before you leading worship, and truth be told, I was terrified. And with good reason. You might not realize this about yourself, but you are terrifying people. Well, I was there at the back of the sanctuary greeting people after the worship service was over. When all of a sudden, someone walked up to me, looked me directly in the eyes, and said to me, David, my name is Ann Doster, and I want you never to forget it. She paused and looked down and looked back up at me, and she shook her head. She said, well, We had to raise our first pastor, Steve McElroy. I reckon we can raise you too. Do you know that was the nicest thing anyone said to me that day? And it was true. It is true. Who is my mother, Jesus asked. Anyone who does the will of my Father in heaven, they are my mother. You see, you stay in church long enough, and you realize Jesus has this way of changing your understanding of family. Jesus has this ability to redraw the boundaries of your family line so that the words brother and mother and father and sister take on a slightly different meaning. Stay in church long enough, and one day you suddenly realize your life is being shaped and formed by people you never realized mattered to you so much. A few weeks ago, we gave our youngest son, Joseph, a new pair of shoes. He had just grown a little bit and needed to move up in size. We decided to surprise him one morning before school. And we gave him the box. We told him to open it up. He opened the box. He looked at the shoes, and he said, "Oh, Mom, thank you. These shoes look really fast." Well, as soon as he received the box, he dropped it right there. He went running to his room. He went in his room. He grabbed his old pair of tennis shoes. He went to the front door. He opened the front door, and he threw them outside. "Joseph," we said, "what are you doing? You can't just throw shoes outside like that." He said, "But Mom, I put them out there so that someone who doesn't have shoes can come by and get them." Now let me ask you, where does a 3-year-old learn to be that generous? Where does a preschooler learn that there are other kids out there that don't have shoes and that there's something we can do about it and something we should do about it? Who do you think taught them that? Do you know what I think? I think it was you. I think it's all the hours you've been spending with him at Glow Kids. I think it's all the times he saw you collecting crackers and raisins for those people who are hungry. All the times he saw you collecting pillows for those people who didn't have a soft bed to sleep on. I think it's all the times he came into this very place and you shared with him the love of Christ and you taught him he could share that love with others. I think he learned it from you. "Who's my brother?" Jesus asked. "Who is my mother?" "Look around," he said. "Just look around because they are everywhere." You see, the Bible reminds us again and again, God's understanding of family, well, it's just larger than ours. And it's not that God doesn't care about our biological families, and not that God doesn't care about those people we spend the most time with. It's just that God realizes those families, no matter how loving or good they may be, they will never be enough. It's too much pressure to put on one family to tell them that their love is all that matters in your life. It's too much pressure to put on a family to say they are the only ones who will be able to care for you. Instead, God says, "I am adopting you. I'm adopting all of you into an even bigger family." And that family is filled with more mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters than you could possibly know what to do with. You know, maybe that's an even better definition of a biblical family. It's the body of Christ. It's the church. You know, today is Stewardship Sunday. It's the one day a year when we come together and we talk about things like budgets, we talk about things like tithing, we talk about things like sacrificial giving. And the truth is, I do hope you give generously this year your time and your talent and your treasure to the work God is doing right here in this community of faith. Because I do believe lives are being transformed, and I know that your life will be better by your stewardship. I know that the lives of those you love most will be better if you are a generous person. I do believe that with my whole heart. But I didn't come here this morning to talk to you about those things. I didn't come to talk about budgets or tithing or sacrificial giving. Instead, I came to talk about family. A family of God, the family of Pinehurst United Methodist. And I want you to look around. Look at all the mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters God has surrounded you with. Look at the people who have pledged to be with you through thick and thin, because blood may be thicker than water, but spirit is thicker than blood. These are the people. These people right here that you are bumping elbows with, these are the people who will be there with you when you go in the hospital. These are the people who will be there with you when your husband is deployed. These are the people who will be there with you before and during and after the funeral, and they will show up at your door, and they will have a prayer and a pot of soup, and they will say, I can help. These people right here are the ones who will make the love of God real in your life. If you want to know why I give to this church, if you want to know why I tithe to this church, if you want to know why I want to pour out my life for this community of faith and why this church matters to me so much, I need to let you know the answer. Well, it's you. It's always been you. You are the beautiful mess of a family that God has given me. And for that, I couldn't be more thankful. Who is my mother, Jesus asked. Who are my brothers? Look around, he says. They're everywhere. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. Will you pray with me? Eternal God, we thank you that we are not alone in this journey of life, but you surround us with an even larger family of brothers and sisters and mothers and children. We thank you that your love is so abundant that it binds us together in perfect harmony. Lord, we pray for gracious hearts this day, that we might freely receive and freely give that same love in return. And for we offer this prayer and all our prayers in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.